like God wanting to remind us that He is a faithful groom. That sometimes we kind of drift in and out of our relationship with God, but He never drifts out. He never drifts away. And that picture that Nick was sharing and that kind of kept coming through of this moving towards God and He'll move towards you, and that sense of like He wants to bring the breakthrough that you are longing for. He wants to be present with you. He wants you to like be free from those things that hold you back and hold you down. And I was reminded of Jeremiah 29:13 that says, it says, "You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And I just feel this sense of like God wanting to draw us in, draw us in, draw us in. So thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to give you this morning's word, that it would be a word in season, that it would inspire us to serve you and to love you more, God, that we would be found faithful with your word, Lord, that we would be good soil, and Lord, that your word would bear much fruit. Lord, your word says that your word will not return unto you void. So, Lord, I pray that it would bear much fruit. And thank you in Jesus' name. So, last week I talked about disciple making. And I talked about the call to disciple making and the cost and the reward. And our scripture was out of Matthew 28:19 and 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age," with you always to the end of the age. And I kind of just want to pick up on that, and I promise I'm going to be more brief today, because Nick gave me the wrap it up last week. I don't want to get that again. So I have a timer set, and I want to be practical this morning. So this morning, last week was the why, and this week I want to talk about the how. How do we make disciples? At the beginning of the year, I'd gone away with our family. Had gone away and spent the holidays in California, where we come from, and as I prayed about, and I was, we are on our way back. As I prayed about, God, what do you want to do with our congregation? Where do you want us to go? And I felt a real clear sense of that God wanted us to have a season of working on this, where we were working on pressing into God, pressing into His presence, pressing into intimacy and relationship and closeness with Him. And so I felt like we were called into a season, but that the next season would be more of this, where we work on our relating one to another. And I feel like when we begin to speak about making disciples, and I'm talking about, you know, making disciples within our congregation, within our communities, within our families, I'm also talking about like how we make disciples all around our lives. And so I felt like God's bringing us into a season of us wanting to press in a little closer, a little deeper into growing in our faith, in our understanding, in our knowledge, and our relationship with God, growing into a more intimate relationship with Him. So I want to talk this morning about how we make disciples. What are the steps? What are the procedures? And the first thing we have to establish when we talk about making disciples is we have to answer the question is, what kind of disciples do we want to make? And that's really, really important, especially because as we talk about making disciples, it's particularly applicable to those of you who are parents of children, young teenagers, you know, all ages. It's particularly important that we decide and determine as parents what kind of disciples we want to make. Because let me tell you, if you're a parent, you are making disciples. Hear what I'm saying. If you are a parent, you are making disciples. The only question that the only question is what kind of disciples are you making? You're going to reproduce yourself after your own kind. And so if we want to make disciples of Jesus Christ, which is what our call is, we have to be disciples of Jesus Christ, because you'll reproduce after your own kind. I had an old Texas pastor in California when I was growing up, and Pastor Jesse used to say, and I'm sure he got it from somewhere else, he said, but he would say, if I tell you I have the measles, but I have the mumps, what are you going to catch? Are you going to catch what I say I have, or are you going to catch what I have? And it's important that we realize that when we're attempting to raise our children in a way that is honoring to God, that in a way that it will bring them into an intimate knowledge of God and an intimate relationship with God, we'll only do that if we have one ourselves. We can tell our kids, hey, it's important for you to pray and to read your Bible and to seek after God and to worship God, but if they don't see you doing it, if you're not doing it, if you don't have that kind of relationship with God, kids are great at smelling out hypocrisy. And they may toe the line, but they won't buy what you're selling. We have to be the kind of disciples that we want to make. If we want to make disciples of Jesus, we have to be disciples of Jesus. And so that's the first and most important thing that we have to determine and to purpose within ourselves. And so what kind of disciple are you? Do you have an intimate relationship with Jesus? Do you pray? Not only when you need God's help, but do you pray because you just can't stay away from Him? Do you pray because he's the one you want to talk to? Now, I want to be clear that personally, I have a personal devotional life where I spend time that is set aside for God's presence, where I set time aside to pray and to be in the Word. I have that, but at the same time, I have that uninterrupted relationship with God. It isn't just that time where I have that morning devotion. But it's like this constant conversation that is always going on between myself and God. And that's what a disciple does. A disciple is a close follower of someone. And so if we want to create disciples of Christ, we've got to be disciples of Christ. It can't be a Sunday morning, once a week, twice a week, every once in a while, sporadic, come and go kind of relationship. It's got to be, yes, I know Jesus and Jesus knows me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, he says, "For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church." Paul's saying, look at my life. Look at who I am. Look at how I live. I want you to see in Christ, through the gospel, this is what a disciple looks like. This is what a follower of Jesus looks like. If you want to know what a follower looks like, look at me. I'm a follower of Christ. We need to have those kind of lives. We need to live those kind of lives. We need to determine within ourselves for our children's sake that we're going to live that kind of life. It's no wonder we see so many kids turn 17, 18, 19 and just abandon the faith. because they see parents who are not walking out the faith. And I want to clarify, it's not every. There's wonderful Christian parents who have wonderful intimate relationship with God whose children choose to walk away. Happens all the time. I see it all the time. Wonderful, genuine, authentic followers of Christ and their children walk away because children have a choice. But Paul's saying we need to be, he's saying, look at me. And we need to be able to say, look at me. We want to be able to stand someday and be able to say, hey, listen, I reflected Christ to those around me. Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So there's Paul is setting a precedent here to say, look at me. Look at me as I follow Christ. It's not a boast or an arrogance that Paul is expressing there. He's saying he can say it because he's living a life after Christ. And that's the kind of life we want to make. So how do we make disciples? The first thing we have to do is we have to be followable. Because you're going to produce after your kind. You have to be followable. Just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. We need to model a life of intimacy, a life of pursuit of Christ. We need to model a life of humility, of love, of passion for Christ. We need to love His Word. When you sit around the dinner table with your kids and you're praying over a meal, are you praying Scripture because you love Scripture, because Scripture's in you? Does it just pour out of you? When you're in the workplace or you're in your school or you're in your neighborhood and someone says, hey, I've got this problem, this issue, is it your first natural reaction to say, let me take it to my Savior, let me take it to Jesus, let's pray, let me pray for you because I know Jesus and I know He loves you and He cares about you. We need to be those who smell like they've been with Jesus. We need to be those who carry that intimacy with us wherever we go. Peter, who Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. He says, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And Peter said, I won't, I won't, I won't. And then they arrest Jesus and they take him off. And he begins to, he's hiding out in the, they take him to the high priest, to the inner court. And he's hiding out there. And the servant girl says, wait a minute, aren't you one of them? And he says, no, it's not me. And then another one says, well, but you sound like that group. No, I'm not with them. And another one says, no, no, surely you're one of them. Peter obviously had that sense of like he's been around Jesus. He's like Jesus. He smells like Jesus. He walks like Jesus. He talks like Jesus. We need to be followers of Jesus that look and sound and act and behave like Jesus. If we want to make disciples of Jesus, we have to be like Jesus. We need to be followable. Are you followable? Do you want your kids to be just like you? Do you want young believers, new believers, to be like you? Be followable. Look like, act like, smell like Jesus. How do you do that? How did the disciples do that? How did Peter do that? How did Peter look, act, and smell like Jesus? He spent a lot of time with Him. Day in, day out, 3 years, walking, talking, being around, acting. If you want to be followable, get close to Jesus. Be near Him. And I know for some of us, it's like that's, hey, man, that feels like a tall order. I just don't have time. I've got a busy life. I don't have the discipline. I don't have, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we don't do it. But as Nick was saying earlier, the Bible says, if you draw nigh to me, Jesus said, God says, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. All that means is if you come a little closer to me, I'll come closer to you. And sometimes we feel like the job of getting close to Jesus is just too dang big. And the reality is, as he says, if you come close to me, I'll come close to you. You take a step towards me, I'll take a step towards you. And so we press in, we become followers of Christ, we take on those characteristics. The second thing we have to do if we want to make disciples is we make a commitment and be consistent. So if I say, hey, Wayne, I want to disciple you. Let's say Wayne's a young believer and I want to take him and I want to help him become a follower of Christ. I want to help him go from where he, you know, he kind of doesn't know Jesus, but to where he knows him better. I want to be able to say that after I've spent time with him, he's going to be closer to Jesus. He's going to understand him more. He's going to love him more. He's going to follow him more passionately. That's what it means to make a disciple of Jesus. So I've got to make a commitment to do that. It's not going to happen by osmosis, just because I want it to happen. I make a commitment. I say, I'm going to spend time with you. And so Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds or good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If I want to disciple someone, I've got to make a commitment to spend time with them, and I have to be consistent in that time. So let's say, you know, I say, hey, Wayne, I want to help you. I want to help you become a more consistent in your Bible study. So we get together and we talk about, hey, this is what I do and this is how I do it. And here are some tricks and things and here's some things you can do that where you can grow. And then I say, okay, I'll see you later. And then I say, I come back 3 months from now and say, how are you doing? Well, it didn't really stick. But if I say, hey, I'm going to make a commitment, I want you to go and I want you to read the book of John. I'll see you next week. And then next week comes and I say, okay, how did you do? Okay, I read the book of John. Great. Now I want you to read the book of Luke. And then next week, okay, how did you do? I read the book. Okay, now I want you to read. You see, it's a consistency. It's spending time with that person. You're making a commitment to them. And you're spending time over and over and over, and you're pouring into their life, and it's just like anything else. If you want to produce something, you've got to put the effort in to make that happen. We want to make disciples. We'll make a commitment to that person, and we'll maintain a consistency with them because we want to see them come through. The third thing is we want to keep Jesus at the center of that relationship. Several years ago, I was in a group of with a group of guys, and we called it they called it an accountability group. It was about 10 guys, and it was a time for us to get together and pray and study the Bible, and then talk about our lives, and then keep each other accountable to growing in our faith. And so I wasn't the leader of the thing; I was just one of the guys in there. And what it became was, we'd get around and kind of shoot the breeze. A couple guys would complain about their wives. I never complain about my wife because I don't have any complaints. My wife's perfect. In fact, I used to sit there and I would get a little sheepish because they would all be complaining about their wives and be like, I don't have any complaints. She's just like the best person in the world to be married to. It's just so easy. Like Nick doesn't believe me, but it's true. You know, I'm serious. But she's so easy. But it would become this kind of like, almost like a gripe session. And it was because we didn't keep Jesus in the center of that time. It's one thing to get together and have coffee with someone, with one of your friends, with a group of guys, a group of ladies, but it's another thing to bring the Word of God into it, to bring Jesus into the center of it. Hey, I'm having trouble in my marriage, in my business, in my finances. And you sit down and you talk about the marriage, you talk about the business, you talk about the finances, and you get all practical, and it becomes this kind of like a counseling, sort of a counseling or an advice session, but you forget to pray, and you forget to apply the Word of God. If you want to make a disciple of Jesus, you got to bring Jesus into the discipleship process. You've got to keep him at the center of it. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We can spend a lot of time sitting around talking about thoughts, ideas, strategies. But Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So many times we're trying to solve problems with our own worldly wisdom, and we forget that all of our problems could be answered through the Word of God. So we've got to ask God, we've got to bring God into the center of it. The next thing we want to do is we want to pray with and for the person we want to disciple. I was talking to Mike Davies the other day, and Mike said, discipleship is seeing what someone can be instead of what they are. And so when I'm sitting and I want to disciple someone, I'm constantly asking God, will you give me wisdom, godly wisdom and insight about how I can help this person along in their relationship with you? One point, we had a leadership meeting a while back, and I define discipleship this way. I believe discipleship is finding the place where that person is stuck and helping them over that obstacle. So you may say, hey, I'm stuck. I just can't seem to get consistent in my prayer life. So if I want to disciple you, so Nick comes to me and says, hey, I just can't seem to be consistent in my prayer life. If I want to disciple you, I want to find that place where you're stuck and help you through it. So Nick says, I'm stuck in my prayer life. So I'm going to go to Nick and I'm going to say, okay, Nick, we're going to do this together. So okay, I want you to set aside 20 minutes tomorrow morning. And I want you to spend that time praying and talking to God. And I'll call you tomorrow. So I called Nick, hey, how'd it go? Hey, I did it. And then again, next day. But I have to know where that person is stuck. I have to ask God, will you show me what's really going on here? Will you show me what this person really needs, where the real issue is for him? So I ask God, I pray for him, I pray with him. I ask to be led by the Spirit. I believe God for the best possible outcome in that person's life. Maybe that person's battling in the area of smoking cigarettes, and they've been smoking cigarettes for decades, and they just think, I can't get free. I want to believe God can set that person free. So I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to walk with them. I'm going to expect that God is going to move in that person's life. I'm going to expect to see change. I'm going to expect to see growth. I'm going to expect to see breakthrough in that person's life. I'm marrying my faith with the process of discipleship. The next thing is I want to ask questions and provide accountability. I want to ask them, how are you doing in this area? Ask the difficult questions. You may be walking with someone who's trying to break free from pornography or from overspending or from any different area. It bears that you have to ask the question, how are you doing? Ask the direct question. Don't take fine for an answer. And provide accountability. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke and exhort with complete patience and teaching. It may be that you're going to have to provide some discipline in that person's life. Hey, how are you doing in this area? I failed again. Come on, you said you want to break through. What do you need to change? Maybe you need to like turn your television off. You're having trouble finding time to pray and read your Bible. You need to turn your television off. Maybe you just need to correct some areas of their life so they can come into a deeper and more intimate relationship with Jesus. The word disciple has, you know, it's come the same root word as discipline. And sometimes we need to be bring discipline into that person's life in a good way. And then finally, the last one is that we need to love that person. Jesus says in John 15:13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. We have to lay down our lives for each other. You know, there's that saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You may have all the right answers. You may have all the theological background. You may be able to quote the scriptures front ways and backwards. You may be able to come to that person and say, hey, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. Let's put a plan in place. I'm going to tell you how to do it. And if you do this, this is what... But if you don't love that person, but if you don't lay your life down for them, if you won't really walk with them, if it's just kind of something that's a side, that, you know, it's something kind of on the side. But are you willing, are you available if that person calls you at 10 o'clock at night and says, hey, I'm really struggling and I need you to come and pray for me? We need to lay down our lives for each other. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to carry each other into the more that Jesus has for us. We're called to make disciples. We're called to help each other get closer to Christ. And so this morning, I want to ask you, who are you discipling? Remember, I said if you're a parent, you're discipling someone. Are you doing it with intentionality? How are you doing in that? Are there some areas where you need to adjust? Do your kids see you praying? Do your kids hear you worshiping? Do your kids see you reading the Word of God? Do they hear the Word of God coming out of your mouth in a way that's genuine and authentic? Do they see your devotion to Christ? Do others see it? Are there people in your life that you can invest in and pour into and help them come into more of Jesus? Can we do that for one another? Think about your community group. Is there someone in your community group that's struggling, that needs someone to come alongside them and help them? Is there someone in your workplace? Is there someone in your school? Is there someone in your neighborhood? Is there someone in your family? A sister, a brother, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle. Is there someone that you can begin to invest in? Because the point is, we want to bring people closer to Jesus. We want to bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus. And we need to do it with intentionality. Can we just bow our heads? Lord, we pray. Lord, I just want to pray for us as a congregation this morning. That we as a congregation will become expert disciple makers. That we'll become a people who love you so much that we can't wait for it to spill out on other people. And that we would become a people who are so committed to one another that we can't let our friend, our brother and sister in Christ struggle without trying to help. Lord, that it'll become such a core part of our DNA that people would actually begin to describe us that way. Man, if you end up in Sunningdale AM, somebody is going to walk with you. Somebody is going to love you. Somebody is going to be passionate in seeing you come in closer to Christ. That if you become a part of Sunningdale AM, you're going to grow as a disciple of Jesus. It's inevitable. It's unavoidable. Because we're so passionate about loving each other. Lord, I pray that we would be those people. And that we reflect your kingdom and your glory. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I did it. 30 minutes, Nick.